Hello once again, and welcome to another entering into the territory of vows and precepts and refuge. This time around, we're taking up, I vow not to be stingy. I've been enjoying hanging out with that word, stingy. It's one of those words that when I say it, it really just, the meaning of it, the feel of saying that word conveys a lot about it. Stingy. I mean, the construction of the word is kind of a stingy construction. Stingy, stingy. It lends itself to that kind of pronouncing and diving into it deeper. I've been playing with that, stingy. And I notice, you know, playing with the inflection of the word brings about a certain feeling, but I also, physical things happen. My face kind of twists up and becomes stingy, a stingy face. And my hands, my arms, they kind of pull into me and gather here as if I'm holding on to something here in the middle of, right in front of my chest. And so I kind of close up and contract and become like I'm holding and hiding something and keeping it from others. So, yeah, it's great just to, maybe that'll be a, take it as a mantra, working with this precept, just stingy, stingy, over and over, and see how it affects you. Play with it that way. There's a connection here, in a way, to the vow not to steal. Along the lines of feelings of generosity or feelings of lack, feelings of abundance or feelings of scarcity. So there, I see a line of connection there more directly between those two, as we've been saying and spoke of last time in our discussion. All these vows tend to interweave and interconnect, but some kind of highlight with others or resonate with others in a particular way. So again, that's the way these two resonate for me, is that generosity or lack, abundance or scarcity. But the activities are different. In stealing, it's going for what's out beyond me. You know, trying to get things that aren't, you know, thinking I need things, bring them in from the outside. Whereas being stingy, for me, what's central about that is holding on to what I've already got. Holding on to it tightly, keeping it close, not sharing it. So what I've already gotten, rather than trying to get something I don't have. And that can be the physical items that we own, things we don't want to share with others, things we keep kind of tucked away. Maybe they're put in a safe. Maybe they are kept in a display case, kept behind, and kind of protected, not brought out to the world. Maybe it's that kind of the things that we consider treasures. And it's good to put the appropriate things in safes and stuff, so I'm not saying not to do that. But it's kind of like fine china. Maybe it's not such a stingy thing, but you only bring it out for special occasions, is the idea. And I guess the stinginess could be, why not use it all the time? Let everything be a special occasion. And I've heard of people doing that, and that's great. Don't just hold it up in reserve and wait for the special time. I think the plates would like to get out and see more of the world rather than just the holiday worlds or whatever the special occasion worlds are for individual people. But I digress. So it could be, as I was saying, it could be physical things, things we own. But I think it's also, there's this, and it comes about through saying the word, there can be an attitude of stinginess, a way of carrying myself that is a stingy way of being. And it could be something that's always present or just in certain moments, certain times, where I'm just a stingy presence, so to speak. A stingy way of being in the world. And that stingy way of being then leads to actions which maybe, you know, they're infused with that stinginess, and that might deal more with the physical objects. And, or it could even be knowledge, insights, could be things that I have internally that I value, that I want to keep and hold as my own, and not let it, somebody else have it, because then it becomes theirs. Or I'm thinking of those times where maybe I've come up with a zinger or something, a really bright idea, in my opinion. And rather than share it with others, I want to wait for that right moment so I can shine and bring it forth. Yeah, so I don't just openly, or not, that's not the word. I don't just readily share it with others. I kind of hold on to it and wait for that particular moment. And that's a stinginess in a way, yeah. So, physical objects, things like wisdom, knowledge, insights. I can hold those in a stingy way if my being is just kind of a stingy way of being. Instead of freely giving it away, freely sharing, yeah. So just some general areas of the territory in the landscape that have been arising. But more specifically, I think that highlight these things I'm talking about. There's been some examples in my life that have come forth that I want to share, stories that I have about being with other people who I found to be, well, in this case, stingy, but you'll see in one of the cases it wasn't readily apparent. And I realize I'm probably teetering on the edge of gossiping about somebody, but I'm not talking about who it is. I'm not going to say who it is, so maybe that protects me, and there I am. Maybe there's another vow I'm breaking here and there. Who knows? But the examples that come to mind, I'll share them anyway, see what they're worth. Regardless of vows I may be breaking in the process. One is a supervisor I had at work many years ago who, the situation was, I had just got hired onto this team of people doing casework, and I was hired for the position that the supervisor of that team just stepped out of and became supervisor. So, her first role as being a supervisor, first time doing that, and my first time to step in this team and start doing the casework. So I inherited some of the cases she had been working on. And it was just interesting to try to, in one respect, learn how to do this particular job, how to engage, what, you know, to be trained. But also having to pick up the threads of what she had already put in place and carried, which was a little bit less of training and job in general. It was more of, here's how to work these specific cases. And then, you know, when we have those kinds of trainings and things being given to us, or in my case, to me, there's also, how do I bring myself to this? Where do I get to, you know, bring the experience and knowledge and skills I have to partner with the general training and the specific workings of these cases? What ended up happening was more of being told how to run the cases, as this person hadn't really had the time, honestly, to transition herself out of those cases. And so she would still come to some of the meetings with me and then say, well, here's what you need to do, this and that. And I didn't really have a lot of choice. Well, I had choice from the options she was giving me. I didn't have the opportunity then to bring in my own thoughts and something new. And There's a natural aspect to that, but there was also, I would say, this person's particular personality was a little more controlling, micromanaging, and stingy. And I was really looking forward to those cases hopefully wrapping up so then I could, or just getting a new case so I could work it in a new way. And there were still, when I would get a new case, there were still those times where I was being told how to run it rather than being invited to figure out how to run it with support beneath me as I did so. So, yeah, there was a lot of friction and tension there. And I felt like I was being confined. And I think one of the signs, or I don't know a sign, there's many signs that I'm speaking of, but one of the moments that really showed me something about this all was when I arrived at work one day at 7:30, 8 o'clock, you know, first thing in the morning, and my supervisor says, "So, in the shower this morning, I was thinking about your case," and then started telling me her thoughts and what needed to be done and that kind of stuff. Like, whoa, you know. So that was an example of somebody in my life that was holding things and had a presence that was kind of stingy. And it wasn't just towards me. There was other people on the team, and they had this same kind of experience with her. And, you know, what was at the root of it was the supervisor did have more experience than some of us, maybe most of us on that team. And so part of this was, I could see that she was wanting to impart knowledge and wisdom from her experience. But the controlling and the way she liked to try to control it and hold it led to this, rather than transferring skills and letting them become our own, let us grow, is more just do what I say. It was a very stingy approach and not very conducive to sharing and generosity and all that. So eventually things changed and loosened up. Part of that was just learning how to work with somebody like that. And part of it was time goes by and I was able to pull more things into my own sphere more effectively and not have so much of a being told what to do and a little bit more of that sharing and even exchange of information. So there was that, just one example of how stinginess comes out of, I think it might have been that she says, "I know how to do this, so let me just tell you how," rather than teaching me how to do it and learn it. And again, that micromanaging and control was part of the manifestation of that stinginess. So another example I'm thinking of is someone I worked with before who, in opposition to this first person, who kind of did have just a general feeling of stinginess about her, the second person didn't have that feeling at all in the way she carried herself. I would not characterize this person as a stingy person. They were open and generous and kind. And that's what made it more challenging, maybe, to notice, well, there's something just a little bit off here. And I couldn't quite figure out what it was, because it just didn't compute that the feeling that I couldn't figure out didn't fit within the larger landscape of her being a kind, generous, open person. Whereas the other one, it completely fit. Of course it feels that way because she's kind of that kind of person. So this one, it was another stinginess that I found coming forth in just a particular area. But I noticed I didn't even want to call it stinginess. At first I wanted to call it stinginess, and those were times where I was upset and kind of wanted to have a barb to my thoughts. And these were all, I never spoke to the person about this in this particular way. This is just me internally venting to myself, "Oh, she's stingy." But then that softened and turned over to, there's just a lack of generosity here. I think it's saying the same thing, just in a less pointed way, but that's what I noticed. There's just a lack of generosity. And it was the same kind of thing, of this person had knowledge and experience, and was imparting some to others and trying to bring others along and help them grow in it. But it was still this, from a place of, I have figured out how to do this, I know how to do this, so let me teach you how to do it. So a little more open and inviting, but it was still based in, let me show you the way. Rather than coming from that place of, let me provide a field of support in which you can figure out your way and I can provide knowledge and help shape that, but partner with you in letting it become your own, as well as carrying forward what's useful from what I've had through my experience. Hopefully that makes sense. And then what I noticed, rather than being about wanting to control a situation, which I think was also there to a certain degree, it was more that this person cared deeply about the work that we were doing. Cared so deeply about it, she didn't want to, you know, in my perception, didn't want to dishonor it, didn't want to have it be diminished, didn't want to have it fade away. And therefore, saw, well, the way that she was carrying it was really nourishing and supporting it, so let me teach others how to carry it in the same way so it can stay alive and nourished and supported. But there's a kind of a stinginess to that. Because even though it's coming from a place of deep caring, instead of inviting others to, or inviting me, I'll speak for myself, inviting me to join in that deep caring and find out how that caring manifests from me, from my own perspective and my own life, it was almost kind of imposing on me of, like, if you really care for it, then you'll do it this way. Again, it wasn't, wasn't stated overtly like that, but that was the feeling, this feeling of a lack of generosity and a stinginess. So I noticed, you know, both of these are, they have this feeling of not being invited in to a shared space. Or maybe being invited into a shared space, but there's conditions. There are conditions. So not, I guess it'd be that difference between cooperation versus collaboration. Cooperation meaning we're there together, but and we're each doing our own thing, and we're cooperating in it, but we're not really joining in collaboration. We're not crossing the lines and maybe blurring the lines of our connection so that it's just one field of something happening in which multiple people are working. It was more multiple people working in individual fields and trying to figure out how to join them together, but still hold on to that individual field. I don't know. That seems to make sense to me, but we'll see if it does to you. So those two examples were in my mind, hanging out with this precept. Then you can hear it in, like, the advice from Bodhidharma, I think, speaks to those situations as a way of undoing that. The way things are is mysterious and hard to see. In a world where the Dharma is everywhere, not holding back resources, it's called the vow of not being stingy. So, in a world where the Dharma is everywhere, first thing that comes up is like, well, if it's everywhere, then I have it, you have it, everybody has it, everything has it. It's there, and everything has it in their own particular way. Yeah? So, by acknowledging that, it kind of brings up, I don't need to hold on to my stuff, because it's not, I can't, by doing so, I might think that I'm separating it and holding it away and have it as mine, but really, if the Dharma is everywhere, I'm just making a division where perhaps one doesn't need to be. Yeah. So I don't need to hold back those resources, because by doing so, I mean, right when, as I'm saying this, my arms are kind of like a hug, holding things into my chest, and loosely, like I'm holding, like a bear hug, as if there was a barrel here in front of me. And when I do that, not only am I holding back what I have, I'm not able to receive and engage what others are offering or what they're putting forth in that space of things, the Dharma being everywhere. So I'm denying myself. My stinginess is causing me to suffer and me to miss out on things. And if I'm holding back resources, my ways of being, then I'm denying others the opportunity to be infused by what I might have. So I'm just denying maybe a natural process of sharing and collaboration and interconnectedness. Maybe not denying it so much as not honoring it, not acknowledging it, going against it. Because I don't think if it's fundamentally there, it can't really be denied. I can just relate to it in different ways, in unskillful ways. So then there's that edge of, well, not holding back resources, offering what I have to offer, versus leaning really forward and imposing what I have to offer on others. Because that could be the argument. I am telling you what to do. I'm giving you all this knowledge. I am showing you how it is. I'm giving away my resources. It's like, well, yeah, but I'm imposing them upon you if I'm coming from that angle. So how do, physically, a lot of physical stuff happening here. I found myself at this moment just kind of sitting back on my cushion, dropping my arms open in my lap with this open stance to the world of freely offering, freely receiving, and intermingling, commingling with things as kind of this place of not holding back resources. It's an openness that I can see invites me to respond in a receiving way when something comes to be received. Then I go back to that openness, and then when something comes up that can be offered, I can more easily respond in an offering way and do the activity of offering things, and then return to that open space and just repeat again and again, flowing with things like that. There's a story in the Zhuangzi, one of the Taoist sages, the two central Taoist books that came to mind as I was considering words from Bodhidharma. And it's just, he says a lot of things in this little chapter, but one thing he said is that sages don't keep integrity in reserve. That's my paraphrase, but sages don't keep integrity in reserve. So the idea that comes to mind for me is, like, I'm building up, well, here's the image. I'm building up things, maybe beyond integrity, just building up things of value, things of worth, then I'm canning them, putting them in jars, and putting them in a storehouse so that I can pull them out and use them at the right moment, kind of like I was saying earlier. I can keep these things, and I'm storing them up for the right moment, the right time to use them. Well, then that, if that's the avenue I take, and I've stored them in this closet or maybe in this traveling chest that I carry around with all my wares in it, I've got to protect that chest. Maybe I have to keep it locked up because I don't want to spill out the virtue and the integrity and the things I've built up. I don't want them to spill out at the wrong time. If that's my attitude, then the project is more about protecting what I have so that it can be used at the right time. And that leads to that control. And I might micromanage who can even know I have this stuff and who can help me carry that, you know, all that kind of stuff could happen. And I'm holding back my resources, essentially. So in the Zhuangzi, as it says, the sage doesn't hold back, doesn't keep integrity in reserve, doesn't really keep anything in reserve, kind of acknowledges this conduit, this way of being that's open on both ends through which things flow, and whatever's built up can be enjoyed and experienced, and then offered away as soon as possible, as we like to say. Whatever you have found here, whatever you've encountered here at the end of our meditations, part of our dedication, whatever you have encountered here, let it nourish and refresh you, then give it away. And that's a vow of not being stingy, yeah? Don't hold it just for yourself. Let it nourish you, let it refresh you, and then give it away. I think if I hold on to it too long, then it can stagnate and spoil and become rotten. And then I'm stuck with the stink and the stench of that. All right, I'm going to bring things to a close here. I've been talking a bit longer than I'd hoped. So I didn't want to be stingy and not say anything, but now maybe I'm saying too much. But I do want to just bring in two things at the end. One is just Dogen's phrase, which is, to me, it evokes that sense of abundance and the Dharma being everywhere, and how that openness that I spoke of just being here, open, not needing to hold too tightly, control or manage any of it, but engage and flow with it at the appropriate measure, at the appropriate time. So a phrase, a verse, that is everything, each blade of grass, this way, this realization, that is all the Buddhas and ancestors. From the beginning, there has been no stinginess at all. So I think I'll be hanging out with that more intentionally the next few days before we meet and talk. Invite you to do the same and see what comes of it. I'll just let the feel of it roll along and see, yeah, what it invites. And then, just a short time ago, as I was getting ready to sit down and do this, a koan popped up that I'll close with. And we can see if it comes up in our conversation when we connect. So someone, a teacher, says to his assembly, speaking of the staff, a walking staff, or a kind of the staff that monks and teachers would have in those days, and still do these days sometimes. Anyway, the teacher says to the assembly, if you have a staff, I will give it to you. If you don't have a staff, I will take it away. So, look forward to exploring more of this territory together with you all very soon.